Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Eve.
Hi, welcome to Demi Goddess, a podcast hosted by your favorite tiny troublemaker, me, Demi Burnett. I'm on a journey of self-discovery since my newfound autism diagnosis and also my newfound sobriety. So it's less of like a new version of myself, and it's more of like a coming home. I hope that this podcast can help other people feel like they can come home too. But if you think that this means an entirely mushy, gushy, not blunt Demi, forget about it. Like, no, because I'm here to break down stereotypes. I'm here to give you my unfiltered hot takes on everything because I do my research and I have something to say. Whether it's celebrity drama, dating bullshit, plus I chat with some amazing guests. Like today, I have 2 of my besties, so that way y'all can see me in my element. Today, I'm talking to Kirpa and Gabby. Kirpa was on my season of The Bachelor, not Colton's, it's mine. And Gabby is her bestie. So they do really cute, really, really funny cooking videos. Their content's awesome. And I'm really excited to get into it with them. So prepare to hear us soon. And of course, Demi Goddess is available on all podcast platforms. So be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Okay, thank God we can finally start the show. I'm here with my producer, Clementine, and I have so much to say, so much to tell you. Let's get into it. I think it's time for everyone else to shut their pie hole and shut up and listen to me. Shut your pie hole, listen to Demi, listen to me. Sorry, I know people hate whenever I talk in third person. I'm so sorry. I don't really mean to. I kind of probably just do it 'cause I'm a nervous habit, so I
apologize. People can suck it.
Yeah. They can suck it.
They can suck that dick that you wish you had.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. I'd let them. No teeth. I actually don't really give head that much because I don't know how to.
I think if you listen to the song WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, you got to touch that dangly thing that swing in the back of your throat. That's what's important.
Oh, is that what they say? Huh? They give you a little lesson on it.
Yeah, and that song.
Wow. Interesting. I got a little traumatized for it. That's a story for another day about my trauma of giving head. Mm. And not really trauma, but kind of. I got like, you know, the first time I gave a head, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I said, am I doing it right? Mm. You know, just trying to make sure, check in.
Yeah.
And so then the next day at school, all the soccer boys were saying, hey, Demi, am I doing it right? And he told everyone.
Oh, that's rude and mean.
And I was so mortified. And so, like, obviously, after that, I was, like, really scared to give anyone head ever. Like,
yeah, fuck
yeah,
that.
I was sad. But now I will give head if I'm, like, serious about the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, like, I can't take that risk again. Mm. Am I doing it right? Because I'm sure that I will probably say, like, does this feel right? Because I'm still not 100% sure. I don't have a penis. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what they want me, you know?
It's good to check in with your partners. And he was a little turd for telling the rest of the team.
So that all was in high school. And what a dark time that was. And I ended up having to use, you know, substances kind of get me through situations like that. Like, I couldn't confidently suck a dick if I didn't have a drink or two in me, because once I had a drink or two, I became a porn star and I was incredible at it. But I actually don't remember that. I probably didn't suck that many dicks, but I definitely would have to get drunk to do it. Yeah. I would have to get drunk to have to do anything pretty much for a while because of... So let me just start this over by saying my last drink that I had was July 23rd, 2021.
I'm very impressed. Just...
Thank you. Thank you. You know, yeah. I haven't even really thought about it. Mm-hmm. It's wild because after Paradise, I came home from Paradise, right? I did not feel good. Mm. Like, as in, well.
Yeah. You did physically. Not feel healthy.
Exactly. Healthy. Not...
Your body might have felt a little poisoned.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't, like, embarrassed of what happened on the show. Like, I was, like, sick. Like,
yeah. You were a very high-functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, I was. I was always drunk. It all started because it made me able to take the edge off. And now what I realize, it made it easier to mask.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And... A lot of autistic women I've talked to, most of them have had problems with alcohol and using alcohol because it makes it easier to mask. It makes it easier to cope with the fact that you feel so different. And there's like, you have like two different lives. Like I did as an undiagnosed autistic person that didn't know I was autistic.
Mm.
It was like my life whenever I was like by myself and then my life with the world, you know, like my personality by myself was like my secret. That I had to hide that, you know, no one could know that side. So whenever I would go out in public, I had to put on the mask, the front. And it got exhausting after years of being forced into this mask because if I said, I don't want to go, I had to go, you know. So all of that stress for years and years, having to cope with that on your own once I got into the real world, once I graduated from high school, led to just drinking, and drinking took away all of the anxiety. It took away all of the annoying parts of masking, you know, all the exhaustion. It just made masking easier.
Yeah.
I realized that once I got back from Paradise, I was drinking every day only to not get sick, like not to throw up, I would feel so terrible.
Because at that point you were drinking so much that your body would go into withdrawals.
Yeah, my body needed it.
Which is dangerous.
Because I basically haired the dog for every single day for like a year or two years, maybe even. Like I've been drinking heavily at this point for like 8 years. Like started partying in college and really, though, started having a problem in the past 2 years.
Because it builds. Because as you said.
I got on TV and I really had to mask then. I would start panicking if I didn't have it because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do something like so awkward, you know, like I'm going to embarrass myself on a talk show or something.
That must have been really stressful on like The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, because don't they like limit how much you're allowed to drink?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So you're like, well, I need more than this to mask, and you're giving me 2 glasses of wine.
Exactly. And then it all became about like me not knowing why I needed the alcohol, because I didn't know at the time I was using it to mask. Because simply having that awareness makes me not need to drink. You know, having the awareness of what's going on.
Yeah.
For me, I don't need to drink if I know. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that I was masking. I didn't know that I even felt more comfortable really with alcohol. I just knew that like alcohol made me feel better. It took away my internal anxiety. And I woke up on July 24th, 2021, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm done. I'm fucking done. I'm going to probably get really sick today and probably for a while. And it's going to suck really bad, but like I have a friend with me.
That's good you called a friend over.
She was with me. She woke up next to me and I had to tell her. I said, hey, I have to tell you something. I have a really bad drinking problem and I'm done drinking today and I'm going to get really sick. Can you just make sure I don't die?
Well, literally people can die from this.
So immediately I start yakking everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I said, just call the ambulance immediately. I said, I just need to make sure I'm not going to die. So I called the ambulance and they came over. They told me I was going to be fine. And they gave me some Zofran anti-nausea. So I stopped puking. So that was great. But all day long, I was just shaking vigorously and I felt terrible. Got that IV. Didn't help at all. So then... my friends, one of my friends was leaving and the other friend walked them out with their stuff. And they were out there talking, saying goodbye for like 40 minutes. Mm. And so they were like, oh, we better go back in and I'm going to say goodbye to Demi again. They came back in and within 1 minute of them walking in, I started having seizures. I had 2 seizures. I don't know, maybe more. I have no idea because I don't remember anything.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I just woke up in the ambulance. They called the ambulance again. The same guys came back. I was like, wow, remember when y'all told me I wasn't going to die? Feels like I am now. So then I went to I was in the hospital for 3 days. But I'm glad that I was because the withdrawals, I don't know how people survive that.
Yeah, fuck.
And it's the anxiety for me. It was the anxiety. Like the Sunday scaries, imagine that times like 500.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my gosh, just sickening. I got out of the hospital in 3 days, went home, and then I have not drank since. Haven't even thought about it. I know that I don't need alcohol ever again, and I don't feel a type of way when I see people drinking. I'm not like, oh, man, I want that.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm proud of myself that I don't need that right now.
Yeah. So you got sober in July 2021 and then diagnosed with autism in February 2022?
Yes, February.
So what were those months in between like?
It was awful. It was like my body getting back to normal, as in it hasn't really known, because for 8 years, once I hit 18, so that's like I'm an adult, right? Mm. Well, then all I did was drink. So like my body as an adult, like I don't even know what my body's tolerant of, you know, like foods I like, foods I don't like, because I've just been running around drunk for so long.
Yeah,
it's insane. Literally January 2022, the beginning of the year, I realized that I was autistic. I was having very intense meltdowns, but I didn't know what they were. I thought they were panic attacks. I always found myself in my life. There's been multiple times where I get to a point where in a new place, I go, a new adventure, I move somewhere, mm-hmm. and I am like on this high almost. Like, you know, it's like, oh, like new friends and like mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I'm masking. Mm. And then I get comfortable and I am sick of masking, you know, and then I get burnout. I get autistic burnout with them. Mm-hmm. And then I want to isolate.
Yep.
I get autistic burnout. I want to isolate myself, and I do it every time. So I moved to LA. I've been here for 2 years now, and I found myself trying to isolate. So in January, I said, do it. Isolate yourself. Do it. Mm. Don't go anywhere. Don't hang out with anyone. Do it. Just stay home then. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel like you should be doing something. Just let yourself stay home. Why do you want to stay home so bad? Why are you trying to isolate yourself? Mm-hmm. What is it? What is your brain trying to tell you?
Yeah.
Like, why? My brain was trying to tell me that I'm fucking autistic, yeah. Literally, because the second I let myself, like fully let myself and didn't let myself feel guilty, didn't let anyone else let me feel guilty, I immediately made the connections again. And I remembered that I had figured out I was autistic 8 years ago.
Whoa.
Before I started drinking so heavily. Because I started drinking because I was like, well, I'm not autistic. I don't know what's wrong with me then.
Yeah, because people have this view of what autism looks like. And it's often based on young boys and how they present with autism, which is, as you know, why a lot of, you know, young girls don't get tested. I'm currently doing an autism evaluation right now because Demi inspired me. Huh? And I'm seeing the same person Demi saw saying to someone, oh, I don't think you're autistic because you're too high functioning or whatever. That's such an ableist term. It's literally.
It's all lies. It's all lies. And it's all made up.
It goes all the way to the top.
Yes. Not back to the white supremacy.
But the whole DSM initially is based on the diagnostics of like
frat boy
of yeah, like 10 years old to like 35 year old white men.
Yeah. So basically frat boys. And also these are the same men who they get to behave in whatever way they damn well please. Mm-hmm. Little girls, we do not get to act out. We do not get to like a little boy with autism. You know, he might struggle in school, be disruptive in school and stuff.
Yeah.
I would never be disruptive. Are you kidding me? I knew what happened when I was disruptive. Pain.
Mm.
Pain, baby. SWATs.
Yeah.
So I was never disruptive. I was a good girl. I did what I was told. I was quiet. And our special interests as autistic girls are things girls would be interested in. Like mine was Hillary Duff.
Avril Lavigne.
Oh, I liked her too. Yeah, yeah. But I wasn't allowed to listen to Avril. I was caught listening to Avril and I got in trouble.
Why?
Because
she's a dirty Canadian.
I don't know. Like me. He was a skater boy and she said, see you later, boy. That was my, I loved that song.
He wasn't good enough for her.
I loved that song and it was, what are you listening to? And I was like, greatness.
Do you ever look back at any of your TV footage of you and just see, not a meltdown, but like, I'm like stimming, or that was me feeling uncomfortable and that, you know, perceived rude thing I said was actually just me being sensorily overwhelmed?
What I can tell, like, not even from watching it back, just by thinking about it back, is how much I was doing, or what I was doing was what I thought I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And not like the character that was put on. It was because, not because I wanted to be fake and play a character or anything, but because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to not look like a lizard. I wanted to not feel like, you know, I was like, oh, people, like, I get rewarded from the producers, like, good girl, like, attention or whatever, like, good girl Demi and whatever, whenever I am, like, funny or I just do something that they want me to do and I do it fearlessly. Like, I don't, like, I, if they tell me to do something and I'm just like, yeah, and I go and I do it really, really good, they mm-hmm. like it. So it's like, you could just see that I could see myself like not even knowing that that's what was going on either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It even didn't start whenever I got my diagnosis. It's just now starting because it's like, I'm just now fully starting to believe it and understand it for myself.
Yeah. Like, there's a different narrative.
It's very overwhelming to realize that everybody's been traumatizing you and that you're extremely traumatized. Whenever our doctor, our neuropsychologist, yeah. she also diagnosed me with PTSD. And mm. I didn't even know we were looking for that. You know, I thought it was just about autism. It's like so hard to even explain because you don't even, I'm like, I realize more and more of it every day of how I've been making things. They could be so much easier on me if they were just done a different way. And like, everyone would be happier. So it's so important that people like get diagnosed or at least become aware of the fact that they're autistic.
And also aware of the fact that the spectrum is different than you think, you know?
And it's different than you think. The spectrum is not linear. I'm not slightly on the spectrum. I'm everywhere on the spectrum. I'm all in around that spectrum. Every
it's
autistic
like those
person.
Pie charts that you shared on your on your Instagram story where like you could have an autistic 12-year-old boy who's nonverbal, but like he might not have pathological demand avoidance. He might just be able to do stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's you who you can talk, but you have pathological demand avoidance. And so like you're both on the spectrum, but like the little cheese wheel, it's like different points.
Yes. Like that. Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. Like whenever I was a little kid, my closest friend was an autistic boy, nonverbal autistic boy. It's different for every person. Everyone has a different experience with it.
Don't punish us because we're good at masking, okay?
Yeah, because honestly, like, I punished myself. Okay, so once I stopped drinking, over 6 months, I lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. People are clearly bothered by it. Mm. But the crazy part is that, so it's in the comments. People are saying like, even on things of me, videos of me talking about like mental health and whatnot, people will say things like, are you drunk? Are you on drugs?
I hope she gets help.
I hope she gets help. You need help. She's off the bandwagon.
Little do they know that you've gotten help.
Yeah.
And this is you
this
with
is
help.
Help. Yeah.
This like, is the healthy one. The Demi that they're grieving or being annoying about was drunk and upset
drunk
the whole time.
And had a beer belly. Like, and had severe mental health issues, depression, anxiety. Like, everyone's just so concerned about the weight thing. And it's like, guys, stop being judging me. Like, stop looking. I know it's hard not to look at people's bodies and make judgments, but it's like, if you never saw me before, you wouldn't be saying I look like I have anorexia. I do not have an eating disorder, but I would say that I have a body I didn't ask for and I'm getting punished for it. No matter what your body looks like, whenever I'm looking at your body, what's going on in my head, it's like they think that I'm judging their bodies because my body looks good. And I'm like, I'm not thinking about, if I look at your body, I'm thinking of how beautiful it is no matter what it looks like, because I'm thinking of what it's doing for you. And I'm appreciating you because I'm not insecure about my body. I'm not judging anyone else's. I'm just living.
Yeah.
And my body looks like a 12-year-old boy's too. Yeah. So it's like.
No, it doesn't, but.
Well, it can.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You two are always in sync.
Bye, bye, bye.
This is my favorite friends, my favorite duo. They're two of the funniest people I know and the kindest souls. They are Kirpa and Gabby. I just realized I didn't say your last names because I got scared. I didn't know how to pronounce them.
I was going to say, you might not know them.
Yeah. I did know them, but I never tried to pronounce them. I never said them out loud. How do I say them?
Could you guys each say your name?
Yes.
Kirpa, say your name.
Kirpa Sudik.
Ooh, that's what I've been saying.
That was real
that's
nice.
That's what you say.
Yeah, but what if I said it and then you were like, I hate it when people say Sudik. I hate it.
Flip the table.
Yeah. You know, like that's I definitely don't want to trigger you.
No, that's definitely Kirpa.
Don't worry, you got it right.
Figured I'd leave it up
Gabby,
to you.
Gabby,
my say name is name. Gabriela Gasca.
Gabriela Gasca.
Oh, say that was like nice. That.
Yes.
That was real good,
you got
Gabby.
That
Gabby
R Gasca. Role.
Yeah, that was
Gabriela.
Good. Gabriela. Yeah.
Do you know my middle name is Gabriele?
What?
It's German. So Gabby. Someone called me Gabby at one point in my life. They like had to have nicknames for everyone, so they like had to find one for me. I was like, because Demi is a nickname,
Demi
but it's
already,
not.
Yeah, I was going to say, Demi already sounds like a nickname. Yeah, you're already there.
It's not, but like, yeah, so Gabby I was because I talked a lot, I guess.
I have been told that I talk a lot.
Gabby.
Yes.
Gabby. Gabby. Gabby, Gabby. I love
you. That's me. I love you.
So thank you guys for coming on here today. This is so crazy. This is my first podcast.
It's exciting.
We're so excited to be here.
Very exciting.
Yeah, you are?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, aw. Mm-hmm. I love you guys. Okay, so why don't we talk about how we met? Because... Yes. Kirpa, you went on The Bachelor and then you never showed up again. You never showed your face in the franchise again.
I just wanted to make a splash and peace out.
She said, bye. Not for me.
I'm done.
Literally.
So tell me, like, why is that? We haven't ever actually talked about, like, why you decided not to try to, like, you know, really dive into.
Like, during Colton season?
Dive into Bachelor stuff or dive into just...
After Colton's season. Oh, like, no. You know...
It didn't feel authentic, like me. And I didn't want to pursue something that felt... Like, you know, you were talking about gut feelings. It just didn't feel right in my gut to, like, force something that shouldn't be forced.
What do you mean in terms of, like, forcing the image or what do you mean?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of, like, the girls that come off, they're all, like... They influence clothes and like makeup and hair. I don't know how to do makeup and hair very well. I don't know. Like, I'm not the one to push those products, and it just didn't feel genuine. Like, I shouldn't be talking about that. I should be talking about what I know, which is eating.
Food.
Yes, you are so funny. I love watching you be your true self on Instagram because I see you guys having so much fun. For me, it's really, really draining to try to keep up that image.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, these people really think that I have my shit together. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And so now it's like, I feel like I can be a lot more authentic about it.
And I think people are drawn to that. People are drawn to authenticity, whatever it is.
They don't want this perfect picture. They want the shit show. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel normal because we're all trying to figure our shit out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it's just like... you know, the less I try, the better it is for me. The better I feel. Okay. Like, the less I try to be something and just, you know, post whatever I want and then just get off.
Yeah.
Get off. Don't even look. Get off. You know what I mean.
Back to you wanting a penis.
I know. I want a penis so I can stick it in things. I know. It's a sexual thing.
No, but I think that's what's worked for us, too. Like,
Yeah.
Being like, it started very organically. Like, what she was like, hey, do you want to come help me like film some reels or whatever? And then it just kind of started spiraled. Like organically, like us hanging out and cooking stuff and then doing other stuff together. Now we're doing this trailer project together. So I think, and then other people have found like Kirpa's Instagram and our, what we're doing together. And I think people that are more aligned with who
we are.
We are.
Yes.
So I think the Bachelor franchise was not aligned with who I am. They were really racist towards me after. I think that turned me off.
Yes.
That's why I was like, why the fuck am I going to be around this kind of energy?
It's
like,
insane.
These people don't even like
it.
Me.
These people, they literally only target like BIPOC,
yeah.
You know? And I don't know how to use that correctly.
Just say BIPOC.
Forgive me, I only mean good.
Don't come for me.
Forgive me, I only mean well, I swear. I will repent immediately.
Just tell me and I will repent.
I have remorse. I've seen the messages and it's sickening.
It's disgusting how someone can be like that.
But it's not someone. It's
a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And yeah. I didn't realize that until after going. I like knew it was there, but I didn't know how bad it was.
It's conservative white people. Yeah. Conservative women. Conservative white women, probably. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much.
I just don't get why. I don't get why. If you're going to make the effort to like put stuff out there, why the hell are you making that negative? Like, why are you going out of your way to be an asshole to other people?
They haven't healed.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
They haven't healed.
Something
about us being our genuine, authentic selves is triggering them, and they have to lash out because something about them, they're not able to be their genuine self.
A lot of them are white women in the South. They see you happy, like beautiful, being your true self, living your best life, and they're like, well, like in their world, they're like in the hierarchy, like yeah. It's like white men, white women, and then men of color, women of color,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, what? That like they're getting to be themselves and I'm not. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
Then they're just bitter. But they don't make all the connections that it's all coming down to the white supremacy that's instilled in them.
Right. No, I don't think they realize it.
No.
Mm-mm.
And that freedom, that power of the anonymity behind the keyboard gives them all the power to be like, yeah, I guess I can.
And it makes it's sickening how it could make them feel better. But I wonder if it does. Or I wonder if they feel bad later.
It can't.
No, I'm sure it's like a temporary like, oh, that felt nice. And then they go right back to feeling like
shit. But how can you feel nice being mean? Places.
What do we do? Go door to door and say, hi, you guys might be in a trauma cycle. Can I help heal you and your family?
Like, come, hold my hands.
We'll work through this together.
Yes.
On from talking about these awful Karen people. You know what's hilarious is that I've been seeing you guys more and more lately, but I still have never seen Kirpa's man, and I'm starting to think he doesn't exist. I've never seen him.
Yes. He's a story.
I've never even heard his voice. He's never called you, like, anything.
He called last night. You missed it. He FaceTimed me.
Likely story.
The basketball game.
Yes.
He was very excited his team won.
I'm sure.
Sports.
Okay. He was very excited his team won. Kirpa, how does a man keep a woman? Like, what does he do to keep you around and to keep you interested?
It's like an evolving process. Every relationship, this is definitely the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. And it comes down to like communication. And he has had to adapt his communication style. I've had to adapt mine.
Okay.
He listens to what I want. Like, it also comes from me. I have to be able to verbalize and communicate because he's not a mind reader. So as long as I'm saying, hey, I need you to plan more date nights, or I need you to tell me, like, I need more words of affirmation or whatever. And if he's listening, like receiving it, letting me feel heard, and then doing it, that's how a guy keeps you. You're feeling heard, or at least for me.
The most important part of that being the follow through and
yes,
the action.
Exactly. Because it's one thing to be like, yeah, I'll do it. But then you never see anything come of it.
Sorry, I want to know an example of when he was doing something and you communicated that you didn't like it, and then you saw an action that he did to, like, he hurt, you saw proof that he was listening and changed it. Because I feel like people always talk a big game.
At the beginning, I'm like an over-communicator in a relationship. I will just beat you to death with talking. And he, like, when we're in conflict, he'll draw inside and go quiet. And that was something I asked him to work on and say, like, hey, if we're in a tough spot, like talking about something that makes you uncomfortable, don't shut down. Like, I need you to be open and say what's on your mind. Like, even if you think it's going to hurt my feelings, we'll like get through it. And he totally has. Now he's more vocal. Yeah.
That's tricky, though, right?
It makes a big difference.
Like, because you're asking him to go against something that, like, is...
Oh, yeah.
His nature,
work. Yeah,
right? And so
yeah.
he has to be very conscious
it was
of, like,
not a quick fix.
Is he okay with doing it now?
Yeah.
Like, is he like it now?
Yeah, yeah. Because we get... Before, at the beginning, if there was a conflict, it might take a few days to resolve. And then we're like, there's this tension. But now it's like, okay, we have the conversation. If it's a little sticky, whatever, we work through it. And then we go back to being normal, laughing. Like, everything's fine. We work through the shit.
And that's how you know it's working, right?
Yeah.
That's how you know you found somebody that it's working with.
Yes, yes.
Because they're willing to put that effort in and
right.
not just...
Because he could have said, yeah, I'll do it, and then still shut down every conversation. Then it wouldn't have worked. Because I would have been unhappy. Yep. My needs not met.
What do you mean by shut down the conversation?
Like he's just very quiet. He won't want to say anything.
It's yeah. probably combining it too, right? Because he might come back and say, like... Okay, but I need a second to process.
Right.
Like, I'm not immediately ready.
He has. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Definitely.
And so I'm,
like, I give him a few minutes mm-hmm. if he needs some quiet time.
He gets 3 minutes.
I put the timer on.
Go.
No, but you're right. It's a give and take. Like, mm-hmm. I have to be understanding, too, and be like, okay, yeah, I can give you that. I can give you a few minutes to, like, collect your thoughts so you don't say something that's going to, like, hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he gets a little snappy, snappy. But that's
I got snapped. Like, I think he even wants that for me because I'm the type to get snappy, snappy and just say things that are not nice.
I can't control myself. Next thing you know, like, all of a sudden, I'm saying the meanest things that have ever come out of my mouth. And then I'm like, yeah, about that. I'm really sorry.
I'm really
but,
sorry.
Like, I'm just really frustrated. But it's for me, way too far. It can always go way too far,
yeah.
but it's just because I get so frustrated.
Mm-hmm. If you find something, if there's something
if
that like
trigger,
hits the spot,
then you're gonna blow up.
Then reason goes out the window.
And that's,
but that's
why
part
you
of
have
maturing.
To, yeah, that's why you have to find like coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So when you are feeling triggered, because I know when I'm feeling triggered, I start like my inner child is just angry.
Literally.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I just want to scream so I'm heard. But then in therapy right now, I'm learning. You just gotta find different ways to kind of like reconnect with your body and be like, I'm just feeling triggered right now. Mm-hmm. I can like take a step back and it's this feeling will pass.
Know why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know
mm-hmm.
why you do.
Know
what
why you
do.
React the way you react.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Know when you why and when you need to change that.
Right.
Exactly.
When
like,
is it appropriate? When is it not? Like all of that. It's
how am I going to be able to date someone if it's like, oh yeah, I have no idea how I'm like, oh yeah, that's just my personality.
Right.
I'm just a volcano of emotions. Like I just explode. Yeah.
Love me.
Yeah. Like no. To be in a relationship, I'm like, I need to be so self-aware. Like we need to know the reason behind everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But that might just be like a me thing, you know, just being like I just need to know absolutely like everything about myself.
No, I think
like,
it's
not about myself, about how
why
it's all
you
working.
Think,
how
yeah,
you think,
yeah.
the way you think. I think it's been such a beautiful thing, your recent, like all of the work that you've been doing and
yes,
all the self-reflection.
And all the realizations you're coming to mm-hmm. and like seeing you like light up when you come to a new one. You're like, wow, guys, look at.
Wow, like last night.
Yes.
Time's not real. We were so stoned last night.
We ate a bunch of gummies and made slime.
We made slime for
oh my
hours.
God. This morning waking up, there was just like piles of slime.
Puddles.
Yes.
Puddles of slime.
They turned into puddles.
Everywhere.
Puddles of slime everywhere. It looked like three 8-year-olds
had a slumber party.
It seriously did. We just had, whenever you guys showed up, it already looked like that. They had just so many cans of shaving cream everywhere.
We were ready to cover your body in shaving cream.
They actually were, they showed up fully ready to cover my body in shaving cream. And I was like, no.
I don't think that's for me.
I didn't want to break your guys' hearts, but I was like, you don't understand how messy that will get for me. I will start freaking out with that on me just because I know I can't move.
Foreshadowing. All of a sudden, okay, we're watching Will It Cake?
Is it cake?
Oh, sorry. Is it cake?
Will it cake? Will it cake? How does one cake?
Is it cake? We're watching Is It Cake, right? We're trying to determine if the hamburger or whatever
is
it is.
Is indeed cake.
Is indeed cake. Kirp and I somehow are sitting kind of in front of Demi on the couch. And all of a sudden we turn around.
She's strapped to the couch in slime and can't move. And has probably been that way for multiple minutes. Hasn't asked for help.
I couldn't tell y'all what I had done yet. I thought I could maybe clean it up before y'all noticed.
There was no coming back from that.
Do you want to know the funniest part? Oh, the whole time I was like this, it was because I didn't want to mix the colors.
Ooh,
they were like the same color almost.
They were the same
just
color.
Just one that had more glitter
and
in it.
And somehow you just Spider-Man yourself to the couch.
Yeah. Well, it just kept slowly dropping from my fingers. And then
we couldn't save you.
And then I was so embarrassed. I didn't want y'all to see. And then I realized that I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't get out of it alone.
We didn't help much. That sweatshirt might be done.
I love how everybody avoided it this morning. Like, everybody just kind of looked at it.
We couldn't address it.
We all just looked at it like,
good luck.
Okay, so back to talking about relationships and sex and dating.
Find me a man, Demi.
I'm horny.
Aren't we all?
Gabby, find you a man, Gabby. I don't think I've ever seen you date anyone.
I have never dated anyone. I've been on like a handful of dates and they were all bad dates and they were not really dates. And
what do you
mean? Like, I don't know. I was a late bloomer. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 18. And it was on this like horrible date, but it wasn't even a date. It was at a party at my cousin's house in Mexico. Like, and then he asked me on a date and it was this like really awful, like, we went to the movie. It was this double date, right, with my friend and this other guy. And they're like, oh, let's go to the movies. And we're like, oh, okay, that's fun.
Spicy.
My first date. Let's do this. We show up to the movies and it had a long line. So these guys were like, should we just go watch a movie at home? We were like, oh, okay, that sounds romantic. I was 18. I didn't know. I was like, okay.
That sounds romantic.
And, well, I didn't know anything. And so since we had made out extensively the first time I met him, I think that was just kind of the train that we were on or that he thought we were on. So the whole time he was
he was ready.
Gabby, come sit here. And it legitimately was like there was one long couch, a love seat, and another couch. And the girl was on the one, I was on the other, and the two boys were sitting here because we were like, nope.
Good. Good.
So there was that. And then he was like professing his love to me. And I was like, This is not it. This is no.
It wasn't everything you had hoped for?
No, and that's been the closest thing I've had to a boyfriend. So,
you know.
I don't know. I think I'm a tough sell. So if we can.
What does that
no,
mean?
Not at all.
Especially, like, we grew up here in L.A., right? So
wow, weird.
Yeah, right?
That's so weird.
Well, not, like, here. Like, we're in the outskirts of L.A. County.
Suburbs.
L.A. County,
Orange
County. I know, but
still, like, you know, to me, L.A., like, wasn't even real. Like, I was, like,
it's
only.
It's like the dream.
Yeah,
right?
Only, like, superstars live there.
Right.
Like, everyone there is, like, you know, super, super A-list celebrity.
Right.
It was just like a magical fantasy.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
live
all
here.
Bullshit.
Right, no, we were living 30 minutes east in Whittier.
People sleep on the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Right, and throw up all over it. Yes. It's not it.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. I was like, the Walk of Fame. Trash.
Yeah.
The dirtiest street.
Yeah, the grossest street.
The grossest street in
LA. The grossest, saddest street. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But as you were, sorry.
So, no. I mean, we grew up here, and I always knew that I was like a tomboy, and as I've grown up, that's just kind of turned into like everyone assuming that I'm a lesbian, which I mean, honestly, I wish I was attracted to women because most people kind of assume that based on my appearance, and I'm just not. I'm a tomboy that likes to like make things and whatever, but also likes musicals. Like I like all sorts of random things. And I know that like nowadays dating has switched over to like the apps, right? You have to date on the apps. And the apps are just not for me because it's like this like superficial split second, like, is this person hot? Yes, no, yes, no, yes. And that's not this cell. Like you have to get to know me and then you might like me, but I'm not going to be ever the girl that wears makeup. And
I think that's what it is. It's just like the makeup and the,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This
the
girly shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that for me, I notice that whenever, like, I don't give a shit about, like, you know, makeup and hair, the superficial stuff that I don't really, like, give a shit about, mm-hmm. but I do it because I know that it looks nice and people like to see it. It gets people to listen to me, follow me, watch me. I do it for them. I do it for y'all.
I do it for the people.
I don't do it for me. I do it for you.
Entertaining you with my eyes and my accessories.
I can't stop looking at your nails.
I know.
It's actually your eyes. Your eyes are captivating.
Mm-hmm. And her smile. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's got a great one.
You have great teeth.
Mm-hmm. See more.
Don't stop.
But once I, like, learning so much about myself and knowing who I am, it's like a whole different kind of confidence and also a whole different way, like, dating. Like, you look for different things in people. Like,
right.
I'm looking for people who don't care about superficial things.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't want a guy or a girl who's, like, you know, they're more concerned about how good they look and more than they're concerned about how they're making people feel and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
What kind of person they are.
100%. Yeah. I would never date somebody who's into that. But yeah. at the same
so
time.
So you wouldn't want to attract that though.
Ain't nobody knocking on my door that's like, hey girl, I don't like superficial things. I'm here for you. That call's not coming.
No, that call. But here's the thing. That call doesn't come for me either. Like, you know what I mean? I'm the epitome of superficial right now. You know what I mean? And there's, like, even in my DMs and stuff, you know who DMs me? It's creeps.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
I've never called someone a creep in real life because, like, I think that's really awful to say. Like, that would really
hurt. No, but there are some nasty people out there.
Yeah, these are actually the creeps. These are creeps.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Never, ever has been there's been a couple of attractive women, but most of them, I think, they're, like, straight girls who are, like, just like, oh my God, Demi, you're so hot. I want to date you. Oh. I'm like, oh, shut up. but it's I don't find genuine people either. I find if I do have a guy that I'm like, wow, like how this came about in my life, this mm-hmm. is working out so
right.
well. They're doing everything to impress me. They're doing it to make it seem like they're this good person.
So then
person.
How the hell do you find somebody? Because I know it's unrealistic to expect that they're going to come knock on your door and say, oh my God, I'm glad I found you. Let's go on a hike.
Right.
Right? Let's build a cabinet.
You go to a cabinet building class.
That's exactly what my mom told you.
Join
the Sierra Club.
Penny's
okay,
like, please
so if you
join
don't,
the Sierra Club.
Oh, that sounds fun. What's that?
It's for hiking.
Oh, gross. God.
Oh my God, we need to take Demi on a hike.
Yeah. No.
She just recoils. She's like, what the fuck? No.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys mentioned this trailer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've seen photos of the trailer. You guys have probably told me about the trailer before, but remind me and tell the listeners.
Yeah, we
what's
bought a
going on?
We bought a little baby trailer.
We bought a house together.
We bought a house.
We are homeowners. It's on two wheels.
Yes, it has no bathroom, one bedroom, and a kitchen.
No plumbing. It's great. We bought a little tiny, it's like a teardrop style trailer, mm-hmm. right? It's not the full teardrop. Like, you've seen the itty bitty ones that are towed behind cars, the tiny, tiny, tiny ones.
Yeah, sure.
It's like that. It's basically like a cabin inside to like lay down.
You just sleep in it.
And then in the back, the cabin. But the main room is literally just like, it's less wide than a full size bed. So we're going to be toasty in there.
We're going to be real close.
And then the back opens up like a trunk and then you have the kitchen back there.
Yes.
So the idea is to take off and like see as much as we can see and make content. Although that is a daunting task and idea. Like the content creation stuff that we're doing more and more, like, I don't know, it's been this organic process, but it's a lot of shit and it's a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, so, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of steps in the editing and
right.
I will spend a whole 7 hours editing one video.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God. I look up and I'm like, I'm a shell of a person now. Yeah. I've been looking at this for 7 hours.
Yeah. But people don't get that. They think you just film it and submit it to the brand or whatever and you're done.
Someone thinks like someone's editing these for me. I'm like, that's what everyone thinks, that like, someone's editing them for me. I'm like, oh God, no. No. No one edits anything for me.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a ton of work. Like we're working easily 10, 12 hour days. And
10, 12 hour days.
Oh, easy.
Yes.
Easy.
Every day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Like most days.
Between like we do live streams, we do the Instagram reel stuff, we do the trailer stuff that we're getting ready. Like all of these are long ass days, like getting ready and like it's really tough, right? Because you're in this place of privilege to be able to do this, right? Like, we're not out in the fields, like, picking fruit and stuff. Like, we're not doing backbreaking work, but it is work. And so then people come for you. Like, Kirpa posted just recently something, some ad about whatever it was.
And someone said, get a real job.
And it's like,
you are working so hard.
Yes, that's what you don't get, people.
You're working so hard. And also, video editor is like a job.
Yes.
So I'm not only, like, you're not only doing video editing, you're also the talent. You're also the everything else. Like, I don't know what the job titles are.
No, like, but storyteller.
Yeah, you have to be engaging enough to tell a story. So
creative.
Yes.
Creative director.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally, like, that's been low-key paralyzing for me. So I had a really horrible couple of years, right? Like, yes, COVID, but, like, COVID to the power of 10. Like, my entire life fell apart and everything. And then last June, I had knee surgery. It was like another step on like the shit train or whatever. And during that time, it was like, oh, I'll learn how to edit and I'll pick up a Premiere Pro during that time. But I was so depressed and so just not in the right space that I literally could not even get myself to open the computer, sort of thing, let alone like the mental space to be able to create. Like, I am still paralyzed by it. Cause like we've been saying for a year now, let's start a YouTube channel because people like our dynamic and we do all sorts of stupid shit and everything. But it has been literally like, we haven't gotten past that step of being able to tell a story in a video, right? Like, it's stuff that people don't think about consuming the content. And it's like, oh, this is entertaining.
Right. It must have taken them like no time at all to put that together.
But or it's even like, if you acknowledge that it took time, like
right.
The process.
Yeah. It's like you have to pick through however many hours of footage and get like 15 minutes that's engaging
and getting
and, like,
B-roll
really fun.
And getting like telling it. So and that's been my biggest problem. No one wants to see a home video. I don't even want to see my home videos of Yosemite. That's like beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
No one wants to see a 10-minute video of you recording, like, just walking around or whatever.
Yeah.
You need to tell a story. Like, you're writing a script.
I feel like whenever I am taking videos, I better say something funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I better say something funny. That's my job. And it's pressure. And it's like,
and you have to be on all the time and like thinking. And that's emotionally and so that's exhausting.
Exactly. And that's why I end up saying something really stupid. Like, I'm the hottest bitch ever. Fuck me.
I have great taste.
I have great taste. Like, I just don't even know. I'm just like, was that good, guys? I'm good?
No, it's really tough. It's really tough to say, hey, we get to do this, but it's also a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. Like, yeah, a lot of it we're not paid for.
Right.
It takes a whole production team to make a show, and it's two people who are not, like, you don't have a degree in this.
Right.
We're figuring it out as we go.
We didn't go to film school. No.
Isn't that crazy, though? It's very impressive, like, you know, how much you guys have self-taught yourselves. I don't know.
I think you're using the tools that you got.
I feel like I'm bad at it, though.
No.
Like, I'm not good at it. You guys are consistent.
No.
How do you guys keep the motivation to be consistent?
That's hard.
This is
hard.
All we have. We quit our jobs.
This is true.
Like, we're going to fucking make it work.
But it's hard because it's like you're
trying
to.
There are days you don't want to.
You don't want to do it. And there are days that you release a video that you're like, oh, this is going to fucking kill it.
Oh, that too.
And it does it.
And it does it.
And it flops. And you're like, flops. Why?
And like,
see,
why are people seeing this?
It's going to flop just every time. Oh, this
but
is going to suck.
But then sometimes you chuck a chicken at her mom and it hits her in the face and you're like, oh my God.
That's going to go viral.
I almost pissed my pants. That was so funny. And like, three people watch it. And you're like, well, never mind then. We'll just keep that up there and hope for the next one, sort of thing.
The money, you guys do charity donations.
Every week we raise money for charity.
Mm-hmm.
It's
We've raised a few $1,000 for different organizations. So that's been
awesome. That's
really,
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. So that's been a really fun experience.
You guys need to plug all of your stuff because I want everyone to go check it out and laugh along with y'all.
Thank you. I think the biggest way of supporting us right now is tuning in Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, at super.events/Crips and Gabs.
Yeah, but I'll post the link every week and then you can watch our videos on Instagram. We're on TikTok, Crips and Gabs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. TikTok and Twitch, Crips and Gabs. Come watch us. Come play with us. There you go.
I love to play.
We love to play with you.
We love to play. We sure do. We're playing right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I'm not 32.
This is just what we were doing at my house earlier.
Actually,
we just have microphones
now. Exactly.
I'm so glad that y'all came on to do this with
Thank
me. Thank you so
Thanks
much
for having us.
go into our next segment. Okay, you nasty whores, it's time for what will soon be your favorite podcast segment, Recipe for Disaster. I read your submissions of the worst red flags you've experienced on dates and in relationships. You can submit them to demigoddesspod@gmail.com. To get the party started, I thought I'd share the worst red flags that I've encountered in men that I've dated. Hardly dated. I wouldn't call it that. I'd say entertained.
Nice. You've had an entanglement.
An entanglement. Mm. What's that from?
That's what Jada called her extramarital fling on her Red Table Talk podcast. She called it an entanglement.
So one of the red flags that I've experienced is whenever someone unpromptly tells me that someone's hot whenever we're watching a show together, because it's like, you can think that, but like if we're not together, like we haven't been dating, we're not like at that. Like,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's just like, why would you need to say that to me except to try to make me feel insecure?
Exactly.
Except to fuck with me, except to make me be like, either you're trying to fuck with me,
mm-hmm,
or you genuinely don't care about me. Like, you don't care about being that rude.
Yep.
So either way, bye.
Fuck you. I dated a guy back when Game of Thrones was, you know, still on. And this was, you know, if you have, I was going to say spoilers, but it's, you've had enough time. You've had enough time.
Back
when the Red Witch was wearing her amulet and she was still young and not old and like shriveled up. She's naked a lot. And the guy that I was dating, whenever she was naked, I'd be like, wow, her tits are amazing.
Fuck that.
And it was just like, shut up.
That's so rude.
Shut up.
Because would you do that? If a guy was on the screen, I was like, damn, his body's so fine. Like, yeah, every time.
No. It's like my ex.
I would never do that because, not because I don't think it, but because I know that that would be rude to say
I'm
that.
Kind.
I would, that, it would be rude to say that in front of somebody who's pursuing me. It would be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. And like, my ex before that guy, we would watch X on the Beach and like Love Island and stuff together all the time. And it was great. And it was like one of our favorite pastimes after work when like you're tired and you want to watch something stupid. And neither of us were ever like, wow, that person's so fuckable. Even though there's so many hot people on those shows, we were both just nice to each other and didn't say that.
And then, so to lead into my second red flag, because it comes from the first one, unpromptly telling me someone's hot. And then I'll say, wow, you shouldn't have said that. And then they will do number two. They will gaslight me.
Mm.
Now they'll tell me that I'm insecure because they can't say that. So they're trying to tell me my reality is something that it's not.
Yeah.
It's not that they're rude for saying, hey, that person's hot while, you know, in my house.
Yeah.
It's that I'm so insecure, I can't handle hearing that.
Yeah. And you're like, no, actually, it was just rude.
Actually, you just shouldn't have said that.
And sometimes they'll say, I didn't say that. It's like, no, you literally just did. And it's like,
well, they will say, I didn't say that. But then you'll be like, you literally just did say that. And then they'll be like, well, I didn't. And then they talk so much that you get so confused that you don't even remember what you were mad about in the first place. You just want to stop feeling confused. So you're just like, why did we need to talk in circles in the merry-go-round of confusion whenever you could have just came clean in the beginning?
Yeah.
And guess what? You were never going to get punished for it.
Yeah.
You were only going to be forgiven for admitting the truth. So anyway, we're all being manipulated.
We're all being manipulated.
All of us. So, lacking a sense of humor is a red flag.
That's a big one. You want someone that you can, like, banter with and have a good time with and, like, you know, tease.
Yes, exactly, and not take it personally and get their feelings hurt, like, punish me. Because,
yeah,
you know, if you're joking around with someone, I joke around all the time. Mm. I make fun of myself and I make fun of everything. Maybe not even so much of that, but it's, like, taking the piss out of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you laugh sometimes at that whenever we're doing that, so we're like teasing each other and it's funny. And then another time I tease you, you punish me and you're like, you give me an attitude, you're ugly to me or something about it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought we were safe to joke around. And now you're taking that away and punishing me without even telling me beforehand. Like, how am I supposed to know when it's safe to tease you? Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that. You're going to get mad at me for teasing you. I don't need someone around me who gets mad at. Once you value yourself, you don't need anybody else.
No.
Four. Being a bitch to my friends.
If you want to be my lover, you gotta get with my friends.
If all my friends don't like you and think you're crazy, I'm not making excuses for you.
No.
First of all.
Also, if they diss one of your friends to you, like not in, in the presence of the friend, but like, let's say you're having a birthday party and
I have a friend
some of your friends are sitting around like a table and the boy's there and he's talking to these other friends about how much he doesn't like another one of your friends. That's stupid and shady and kind of feels like the abusive, like, isolate-y tactic of like, oh, I don't like your friends. Like,
exactly. Or doesn't like any friend that is a threat to them getting control of you.
Yeah. Like any friend that's like wise to them.
Yep.
Who's like ears are up like a horse, like, I see what you're doing.
Yep.
That's, no.
I'm always that friend and I always get cut out. They always cut me off because their boyfriends tell them to.
It's like guys getting mad about girls doing like manly things and like not acting how they want is the same as is like the inverse of them being like, oh, nothing happened and I'm going to send you a fucking cat meme tomorrow because nothing happened. It's like when you do something, it's forever. And when they do something, it's like, oh, nothing happened.
So guys get mad at us for doing stuff that they don't want us to do. So they have this tactic of brainwashing. So it's happening right now with men and women in feminism. Men, if we start talking about feminism, they get silent because they don't have shit to say about it. And then we are like, oh, they're not talking about it anymore. Or they're not talking to me. I guess I should stop talking about feminism. So they'll start talking to me again or whatever it is. It's subconsciously like we don't even know what's going on.
It's like it's them using their silence as a way to manipulate.
Men will do that to women all the time.
All the time.
All the time, pretending like nothing happened and then just, you know, say, hey, how are you, honey? Missed you. Have a good day. Send you a cute little cat gif or something.
Ew, like the glittery ones especially.
Yeah.
Fuck those.
Good morning. Have a good day. Run. You will thank yourself. Life is so much better when there are people that are not draining your energy in it. And these people, manipulators, they will drain you dry.
Preach.
Okay, thank you guys for listening today, for listening to Demigoddess. Please rate and give me a 5-star review if you know what's good for you. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'll do, but please tell your friends. I don't have friends, so your friends can be my friends. We could all be friends. And make sure you follow me on Instagram. I can't afford to lose any more followers. It's at Demi_not_Lovato. Also working on changing that. Rebranding for sure. So follow me on Instagram at Demi_not_Lovato and follow me on TikTok at Demlia, DEMLIA. I would link my Twitter, but I'm pretty sure I'm banned right now. Just going against too many white men. Follow Demigoddess on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts at. And rate, review, subscribe. Bye.
Demigoddess is part of the Eve Podcast Network and a Forever Dog production. Executive producer, Tracy Soren. Producer and editor, Clementine Yost. Development executive, Mariah Nicholas. Engineer, Margo Padilla. Theme song by Gabe Lopez. Cover photo by Stephanie Sayas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm.